It's not just in modern times you have big disagreements and disputing. Even in the scriptures, we find that there was a situation, church, when the disciples and even the apostles, they had great disputings. And they had disputings about doctrine that they had to deal with. So it's not just a modern day thing in the Church of Christ. Even in the biblical, in the apostolic time, there was some disputings about doctrine, about different types of doctrine. And tonight, I'm going to title this lesson, The Disputing at Jerusalem. The Disputing at Jerusalem. Some Bible scholars call it a council at Jerusalem, but I prefer not to call it a council at Jerusalem, as you will soon see. And it's found in the book of Acts chapter 15, verse 1 to 29. I doubt if we'll have time to go to that text today, because this is part one, Brother Richard. The Disputing at Jerusalem. What was this disputing about? In the same time, in our modern days, we have disagreement about the law. We have a denomination called the Seventh-day Adventist, and they believe that we must still keep the Sabbath day today and the law. So that disputing was about the law, disputing at Jerusalem. But before we actually go to the text, I want us to consider 5 points. 5 points. I call these points the foundation points before we actually go to the text. That is why I say perhaps this is a part one. 5 points. The first point is this. We acknowledge that there were dissensions. We acknowledge that there were disputings. Very strong disagreements took place. But in the end of it all, no apostolic teaching or doctrine of Christ was changed or overthrown. In other words, then, this meeting, that's why I don't like to call it a council. Because when you meet at a council, like the modern day councils, like they want to change certain things, they meet to discuss and change and update and modernize. These disputings at Jerusalem was no such thing. In this disputing at Jerusalem, there was no overthrowing of any doctrine. No overthrow. There was, however, an emphatic restatement of truth. There was an emphatic restatement of truth. Let us look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 24. And this lesson tonight was really inspired by the talk I gave the young people's group last week, Brother O'Shea. Let us hear Acts 15, verse 24. What does it say, Brother O'Shane?
For as much as we have heard.
For as much as we have heard.
That certain which went out from us.
That certain which went out from us. Even the disciples, they came from us. Yes.
Have troubled you with
have
words.
Have troubled you with words. Yes.
Yes. Subverting your souls.
Stop a second. The words that you're going to tell them, Fabian, is not going to uplift their souls. The words that the disciples were telling the other disciples, it is something that would subvert their souls. It's not something that would improve their souls. It's something that would put their souls in danger. What was it that they were telling them? Continue.
Saying, ye must be circumcised.
This is going to subvert your soul. Anybody that's teaching that you must be circumcised, even today, is subverting your soul. What else?
And keep the law.
And keep the law. The law, keep the law. Anybody teaching today, keep the law, is subverting your soul. Anybody saying you must be circumcised is subverting your soul and troubling you.
Amen.
Continue.
To whom we gave no such command.
The apostles is saying here, Brother Mitchell, that they gave no such commandment. They don't know anything like that, you know, Brother Norman. They gave no such commandment for people to be circumcised, for people to keep the law. There was no such commandment. And the law involved the Sabbath. So anybody teaching the Sabbath today, the apostles gave no such commandment. And why this is such a powerful passage, you know, is because it was it's something they had to deal with, Brother Mitchell. It wasn't anything theoretical, you know. It's something that came, that would affect the church, that they had to deal with at that time. And when they are dealing with it, then they must say, all right, we're going to listen to what you have to say, and perhaps we may make some changes. Did they say that, Brother Mitchell? Mm-hmm. No. There was just a restatement of truth, that they gave no such commandment to these people. And this passage has its mate. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. The principle here is that the apostles do not change their teaching. They do not modernize it to accommodate anybody.
Amen.
Galatians 1, verse 8 says, but though we
are an angel,
angel from heaven, preach what?
Any other gospel unto you.
Then that what?
We have preached unto you.
Let him be what?
Let him be a
curse. Up. There is no other gospel. When you're preaching Sabbath, it's like you're preaching another gospel. And there is no other gospel. So there is no Sabbath day to be kept today. But verse 9 says, as we said before, he's saying it again.
If any man preach any other gospel, unto you, than that which that ye have received.
That you have received.
Let him be accursed.
Let him be accursed. The same principle took place at the disputing at Jerusalem. I don't call it the council at Jerusalem. The Bible scholars label it the council at Jerusalem. I call it disputing at Jerusalem, which they, just at the end of it all, they said, we gave no such commandment. No such commandment to be circumcised. No such commandment to keep the Sabbath. There is no such commandment. That is point one of Acts. When you go and study that Acts chapter 15, verse 1 to 29, be assured that the apostles were not going to cave in. The apostles were not going to give any way to these people who wanted to teach false doctrine about being circumcised and keep. They gave no such commandment.
Amen.
Point two is a more general point, Brother Mitchell. It's a more general point. With a point that we in the church have to be very careful about. Because in the church always will have people coming in. And people are coming into the church from various backgrounds. The people who were in Acts chapter 15, a lot of them were Pharisees, becoming Christian. They were used to a certain way of life, a certain ideology. They were used to keeping the law. Yes. They were used to keeping the law. And the same way, let's look at Acts 15, verse 1. Read Acts 15, verse 1 for me, O'Shea.
And certain men which came down from Judea.
Certain men came from Judea. Listen what they're going to come and do.
Taught the brethren
and
said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved.
You see it? They are saying that you must be circumcised. They were telling the Christians that they must be circumcised in order for you to be saved. Uh-huh. Now, you're knowing, Brother Mitchell, that they were powerful in what they were saying. You know why I know they were powerful in what they were saying? Because it's because the apostles now to come together to clarify everything and to set the matter straight. So they really were turning the church upside down, Michael. Read it again, man. Acts 15, verse 1.
And certain men which came down from Judea. Taught the brethren. And said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved.
You see, all they say, Brother Mitchell. You see, church, listen how they say. Listen to the tone of how they are saying it, you know. They are saying there's some kind of authority, you know. You listen to the tone. And people are coming into the church today from different background, different doctrine, different ideas. They can say things also to us that sound powerful and sound convincing.
Amen.
Yes, but we have to be careful and go back to the doctrine. Let's hear Acts 15, verse 5 now. Acts chapter 15, verse 5. Read that one for me.
But there rose up certain of the sects of the Pharisees.
There arose certain of the what? Sect. That's a group of people believe a particular teaching. Yes?
Which believed.
So these are, stop there, man. Stop there a second. These are the Pharisees. They were not Pharisees from outside the church. Am I right? They were Pharisees that were no believers. Am I right, Brother Richard? Because so these were the Pharisees which what? Believed. They are the ones who believed. They rose up. They're rising up now. They see their opportunity now. So they rose up. Certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believe. What are they going to say now? Read.
That it was needful.
Listen to the word I'm using. They are saying that it is needful
to circumcise them.
Mm-hmm.
And to command them to keep the law of Moses.
Those are the Adventists of today. So they are saying that the Christians, Christ alone is not sufficient. So they are saying, they must be circumcised. It is needful for them. They use the word needful. Needful for them to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses. In verse 1, they use another strong word in the other verse above that they say they must, except they be circumcised. They cannot be saved. Because the Pharisees were a group of people, you know. They believed that the way to God was by obeying the law. That's the Pharisees. They believed that the way to God, the way to forgiveness, the way to righteousness, was obeying the law. And as I said to the young people's group last week, the apostles are going to cut this at the very root. Remember what I said to young people's group last week? They're going to cut it. The apostles, this is not no council. If you don't make any sort of democracy to come to say, okay, since you all are so strong in your belief about this, we're going to cave in and give you what you want. The apostles cut it at the root.
Amen.
They cut it at the root. They said, we don't give no such commandment. There was no such commandment for you to be circumcised and for you to keep the law. No such commandment was given. Point number 3. So point number 2, be careful of people coming in different background. No matter how they come, and they come forceful, go back to scriptures. Point number 3, there is just one law. There is no artificial division of ceremonial law and moral law. It's just one law.
Yeah.
One law. The scriptures talk about the law of the Lord and the law of Moses interchangeably. Let me say it again. The scripture, when we go to scriptures, Brother Norman, we see it talks about the law of the Lord and it talks about the law of Moses interchangeably. And there are many passages, but I'm going to turn to one in particular. I need help with reading here. Luke chapter 2. I think this is a very good passage that shows how the term is used interchangeably. Because when you talk to the Seventh-day Adventist, they can say, oh no, it's the moral law that is in place now. The ceremonial law is abolished. It's just the moral law now that we keep. So let me hear Luke chapter 2, Rokoy or O'Shane. Read for me verse 22 and 23 of Luke chapter 2. What does it say?
And when the days of her purification,
yes,
according to the law of Moses, were accomplished,
yes,
They brought him to Jerusalem
yes.
to present him to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. As
it is written in the law of the Lord.
Continue.
Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord.
No, you're talking to an Adventist now. They said there are two laws. Listen to the verse carefully. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses, so it's according to the same thing they're talking about, you know, they call it now here the law of Moses were accomplished. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the what? The law of the Lord.
Lord.
The law of the Lord and the law of Moses, one and the same thing, used interchangeably. Yeah. So when the people in the book of Acts is talking about the law, keep the law, it's just one law they wanted people to keep, which include also the Sabbath. Yeah. Let us now look at the other verse now. You read verse 23 already, Brother Hussein? Yes. Yes. Look at verse 24 now, Brother Hussein.
24.
Of the same Luke, yes.
And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
They will call these things the ceremonial law. The Adventists will call the sort of sacrifice that they were giving here, the turtle doves and the young pigeons. They were called the law of Moses, the ceremonial law. The Bible calls it here the law of the Lord. You see? The Bible calls it. There is no distinction. Let's look at verse 39 now.
39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth.
So everything here that the Adventists would call ceremonial, everything here in the context, the Seventh-day Adventist people would call it ceremonial. Yet when it was ending now, verse 39, it said they perform all of these things that the Adventists call ceremonial. All of these things were done according to the what, Oshane?
The law of the Lord.
The law of the Lord. There's no distinction between the law of the Lord and the law of Moses. It's one law. Mm-hmm. There's only one law. So when we go into now the text of Acts chapter 15, bear in mind, church, that we're talking about one law, not two laws, but just one law. That is point three. Point four. This one law that they wanted the church to keep in Acts chapter 15. This one law cannot save us, you know. No. This one law cannot save us at all. Let us look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. Romans, everybody turn to it. And I want you all to write down these passages, you know, because I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. Romans 8, verse 3. Listen to it. Read.
For what the law could not do.
Stop. Church, do you hear that? There is something that the law could not do.
Amen.
There is something that the law could not do. Remember, you know,
Amen.
There's not two laws, no, you know. We clear up that already. There is not a ceremonial law or moral. It's just one law. And this one law, Brother Norman, could not do something. It could not do something. And therefore, we need to have somebody else that can get the job done. Right? Because it cannot do something. We need somebody else to get the job done.
Amen.
Start again, Brother Hussein.
For what the law could not do,
mm-hmm.
in that it was weak.
It's weak through the flesh.
Through the flesh.
Yes.
God sending his own son.
Stop. The law could not do something. So God now had to send his own son.
Amen.
God sending his own son. Read.
In the likeness of sinful flesh.
Yes.
And for sin.
Yes.
Condemned sin
in the flesh. That's what the law could not do.
Amen.
The law could not condemn sin. The law was just there. In the second part, we'll see why it was there. I'm not going to deal with it tonight. But the law was just there for a time. Am I correct?
Amen.
Yes. But it could not do something.
Amen.
And because it could not do that thing, God sent his son.
Amen.
So if you have somebody, Earl, that can do the thing, that can condemn the sin, why are you going back to the law that could not do it?
Amen.
To me, that doesn't make any sense.
Amen.
You understand what I'm trying to say, Charles? You have a system that could not do, it could not condemn sin.
Amen.
You now have, Christ has now come, and he's able now to condemn sin. So why want to go back to the law?
Yeah.
Why would you want to go back to what could not condemn sin? Let us hear Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11 as a mating passage. Galatians 3 verse 11. What does it say?
But that no man is justified by the law.
Stop. It can't save us. We're not justified by it. Because it says, for no man, universal, you know.
But that no man,
yes,
is justified by the law in the sight of God.
In the sight of God. Whose sight is important? Man's sight or God's sight?
God's
sight is important.
Yeah.
And the law could not justify us in the sight of God.
Yeah.
So why would you want to keep the Sabbath day today? The Sabbath is a part of the law. That was point four. The law cannot save us.
Amen.
Point five. You can't choose one part. You can't choose, if you choose one part and sidestep the other, you can't choose a piece of it. If you choose, you have to do the entire law. You can't choose one part of the law, you have to choose the entire law. And when you choose it, there is a negative consequence. So there is a lose-lose. Right? That's what they call it, baby, a lose-lose. Yeah, win-win. There's no win-win here at all. There's lose-lose. Because if you choose a part, you are debtor to do the entire law. And when you do that, there's a negative consequence to that. Let us hear it now. Let's hear Galatians 5, verse 3, and then you read verse 4. But read verse 3 first, Oshin or Rabbi.
For I testify again to every man.
So he's talking now to every man that is what?
That is circumcised.
Hmm? He's testifying again to every man that is circumcised. That is what?
A debtor to the whole law.
If you're circumcised, you have to do the whole law. That was what come out in Acts 15, you know. The dissension or disputing at Jerusalem. Because if the apostles were to give in, the entire system would fall flat down. The entire church, as we know it, would have fallen from grace. Everybody. If they had given in at Jerusalem, am I right, Brother Michel? We wouldn't have the Church of Christ. We wouldn't have the Church of Christ. That's why I don't call it a council at Jerusalem. It was a disputing at Jerusalem that the apostles laid to rest. Now, verse 4 now. Read.
Christ is become of no effect unto you.
Stop. Our Adventist friend need to learn this. Am I right, church? They need to learn this. Because if you want to do the Sabbath,
amen,
then you have to do, you can't just choose the Sabbath. Remember, there's no two laws, you know.
Yeah.
I bring you back your minds to that. There are not two laws, it's just one law. It's just one law. So if you decide to keep Sabbath, you have to keep everything. Am I right, Fabian?
Amen.
Everything, even the sacrifices, everything, you have to go back to everything. Burnt offering, everything. Because if you're keeping one, You have to keep all.
Yeah.
So when they say they're keeping Sabbath and they say two laws, show them in the Bible that they are known to just one law.
Yeah.
And if you decide to keep Sabbath, keep everything then. But when you keep everything, something happened to you. Verse 4, read it again.
Christ is become of no effect.
Christ is become of no effect unto you.
To you.
You lose. Thank you, Fabian. You say lose all. Lose. Christ is become of no. So you're keeping something that you can't be justified in God's sight.
Yeah.
You're keeping something that can't save you.
Yeah.
So what are you keeping it for? And when you're keeping it, you're going to fall from grace.
Yeah.
Read it again.
Whomsoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace.
You see the system that we have? We are justified by God. And we have our salvation secured. But if you decide to keep Sabbath, you have to keep everything. Everything. And then you're also now, you'll be justified by the law, of course, but you're going to fall from what?
Grace.
That were some of the things that came up now in Acts chapter 15.
Amen.
Let us summarize. You know, I'm a teacher, so I have to summarize. To summarize all of what we have learned today. Now, simple. I try to keep the lesson as simple as possible so you can follow. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1 to 29, there was a great occasion in the church. I call it occasion because if something went wrong here, the church would have taken a completely different path. There was a great dissension or a great disputing at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, where the Christians, the people who were Pharisees, became Christians, and they wanted to say that if you don't keep the law and circumcise, you cannot be saved. That was their argument. And it caused quite a dispute to the point where they had to call for the apostles and elders. The point I'm making here is that when the apostles and elders came, it is not no democracy. It is not any argument that is popular. It's not anything like what happened in America now with the Republican and the Democrats. It's nothing like that. The apostles said to them, for as much as you have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, you must be what? Circumcised and do what? Keep the law. Remember, it's one law. To whom we gave no such command. So I don't know what Adventists get this idea from. Because it don't come from the apostles at all. There is no such commandment. There was an emphatic restatement of truth. Emphatic restatement. And this is in line with all the teachings that the apostles, because they themselves say, if they even come back and preach something that they never preached before, let them be what? Accursed. There is no such commandment to keep the Sabbath. This Acts chapter 15 is a very good example because it's something affected the church then. And they took an action against it. There is no Sabbath. The point two, summary, is that we have to be careful of people coming into the church with their ideas. They may come in a forceful way. Forceful argument don't mean truth.
Amen.
Forceful argument, strong talking. I was going to say sweet talking, but I remember somebody. Stop talking. Do what be truth. Remember that. Remember also that there is how many laws? You can see if you learn anything. Wow, what only one person learn? There is only one law. It's not any two. Where are we going to go to prove that? There are many passages, but Luke chapter 2, 22 and 23, 24 and 39. Because the law of the Lord and the law of Moses were used interchangeably. One law. That one law cannot save anybody. Romans 8 verse 3. It don't have the capacity to save anybody. It can't save anybody. And that one law, it couldn't save anybody. It can't justify anybody. So God had to send his son. Is it simple enough, Brother Mitchell? Everybody understand? Try to make it as simple as possible. If you choose one part of the law, what happens again, church? Because if you learn anything, you have to do what? You have to do all of it. If you choose one part, you do all of it. If you choose Sabbath, you better carry sacrifices too. Because if you do all of it, not just a piece of it, and then you lose. Right, Fabian? Because when you do that now, Christ is become of no effect to you, and you are fallen from what? Grace. Have you learned anything this evening? I hope so. Okay. So, ready for part two? Well, let me show you, tell me the time when I must do part two. Part two, though, is when we go to the text itself now. Of Acts 15. And we're going to go into that text. Right. We're going to go into that text, Fabian, to see if the apostles gave any argument in that text, any leeway for Christians to keep Sabbath. That's why we're going to go to that text. So in part two, don't miss part two. This is part one. I'll just lay the foundation. So when you go to part two, you know, you understand what has been cleared up already. Everybody with me so far? Yes. So when we go to part two now, we're going to look at the text now of Acts chapter 15 to see what was happening, what took place, and all of that. So thank you very much, church. That's the lesson for tonight.